Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into the MMQB podcast. Second episode this week, Connor Orr, Albert Breer coming at you earlier in the week. And so it is I, Matt Verderam, alongside Gilberto Manzano, as always, as we are getting ready for week 7 of the NFL season already. And Gilberto, I don't know about you, man, but every year, I get all excited for opening day, and I'm like, all right, great. It's week 1, or whatever that game is Thursday night, and the full slate on Sunday, and sometimes we get that doubleheader on Monday, and then I blink, and it's Halloween, and it's week 7, and it's week 8, and some of these teams are already out of it, and you're starting to see who's the real contender. Does that happen for you, or do you feel like the season goes a little bit slower for you?
Yeah, it's kind of like a mix. It's like, oh, wow, it's week 7, but then, you know, when you're always writing stories and you're working, it's like, oh, okay, can we get to, like, you know, maybe the playoffs now, less games? And is it just kind of, as a reporter, kind of annoying here? When I saw maybe 4 or 5 games in the late window, I'm like, come on, I want to, you know, we'll focus on 3. I can't do 5 games. So things like that. But I'm with you, though, man. I do enjoy football. Those upsets on Sunday were, we did not see that coming. So, you know, you kind of hit the wall as a reporter, but, you know, as a football fan, you always enjoy it.
You know, man, it's crazy, too. Like, you bring up a good point about the late slate, you know, that 4 o'clock window on the East Coast, and there's 4 of those games this week. But I feel like in the past, not that there were less or more games. I mean, it was kind of like what it's always been. But I think that it feels like this year a lot of those games just have not been good. Like, you go into the games and you're like, yeah, you know what, I don't love it. And I think part of that is a lot of the teams on the West Coast right now are not particularly good. I mean, Denver is not a good team. The Raiders, to their credit, 3-3, but not like an overly great draw. I think most people expect they're not going to be tremendous as the year goes on. Arizona is not good. The Rams are a decent team. You know, depending on the matchup, could be a decent game there. Obviously, San Francisco and Seattle are excellent. But like, if those teams aren't hosting in that late window, you're kind of stuck. Right? I mean, you get a lot of these games, you're going, I didn't mention the Chargers. They're okay. Kind of like the Rams. I mean, it depends on the matchup. But, you know, you look at this week's slate, and the national 425 game is the Chargers at the Chiefs, which, okay, you know, it's a good game, divisional matchup. Green Bay at Denver, not overly exciting. Arizona at Seattle, again, love Seattle, but not like overly enthused because Arizona's involved. So I wish they would almost have the ability to flex like they do for Sunday Night Football, where you could flex a game, you know, maybe with a few weeks of notice, because it wouldn't really screw up fans. You're going to the game on Sunday. Well, okay, now you're just going a couple hours later. I wish they would do that, build that into the schedule more instead of getting stuck with these games where you're looking at it and go, man, really? Like, that's the best game? All right.
Didn't they try with Lions-Buccaneers? It wasn't an exciting game at all, but I feel like they moved that one. I think they try to do sometimes, and I think that's why we have maybe instead of 3 or 4 or 5, they try to add more more games there. But I'm with you. Some of these games on the late window last week were pretty bad until you look up and like, oh, the Jets are hanging around with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Oh, interception. Oh, the Jets are actually going to win this. But it was at one point, it was what, Raiders, Patriots,
yeah,
Cardinals, Rams, and the Lions were just, you know, crushing the Buccaneers. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm okay focusing on one game here, and it was the Eagles and the Jets.
Yeah, yeah, true. And it's a good point. You're right. Like, they will move games occasionally. Like, they do have the ability to do that, so I don't want to misspeak. You're right. I guess what I'm driving at is like that. Like this week, it's the Chargers and Chiefs, right? Like, Nance and Romo are on the call, and that's like the big game. I wish they had more. I shouldn't say ability, because they have the ability. I wish they would do it more, where they'd go, you know what? Pats Raiders is the 4:25 game. We're good. We're gonna move that to 9 a.m. and we're gonna slide another game in here. You know, like you look at this week's schedule, and again, the Chargers Chiefs not a bad game. Obviously, the Chiefs are involved, but I mean, the Lions at the Ravens, like, that's a really good game at noon. Now, you could make the argument, if you move that out of there, what else are you going to watch? Because this week's games are not exactly phenomenal. So, you know, look, we're middling the issue. I mean, you could go a lot of different ways here. Some weeks you're going to have great games, some weeks you're not. Like, I'm a big schedule guy. I was looking ahead a few weeks, and just want to make sure I'm right so it's week nine. Dude, week nine is going to be fantastic. So, like, you've got Thursday Night Football, Tennessee at Pittsburgh, which, okay, you know, so-so game. Nothing crazy there. Sunday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, Miami at Kansas City. So, that's in Germany. Awesome game. Early window, you've got Seattle at Baltimore. Really good game. Then you've got the late window, which only has three games, and one of them is Dallas at Philly. And the Sunday night game is Buffalo at Cincinnati. Like, now, that's a Sunday. Like, that is every window you've got really good teams going at it. Unfortunately, this Sunday doesn't quite give us that, which we're going to get to here in a little bit. And so, look, let's get into the show here a little bit more. Week 7 storylines here as we go into Week 7. We no longer have an unbeaten team. So the 72 Dolphins can go ahead and crack as many champagne bottles as they'd like to. They're safe for another year. The Niners lose in a rainy, dreary game at Cleveland, where the Browns started PJ Walker quarterback, but they continue to look like the 85 Bears on defense. So they find a way to win. They get help with a missed field goal at the end. The Eagles, you already brought that up. Jalen Hurts throws three picks. They have four total turnovers, and they lose to Zach Wilson and the Jets as the Jets go into their bye here. So both those teams go down. Do you think that we saw a crack in either one of those teams that is meaningful moving forward? Or for you, was it just, hey, look, it happens, it's a loss, it's a blip on the radar screen?
You know, I think a little bit with the Eagles, with the 49ers, you know, they have some injuries, and they should have won that game, you know. I'm unsure, I guess, about the move that Kyle Shanahan did to not get more yards, to go for the touchdown before the field goal with a rookie kicker. But they should have won that game. I mean, that's the point I was trying to make. But with the Eagles, you've been seeing kind of a up and down unevenness with the new OC, Brian Johnson, especially in the passing game. So I don't know if there's something there with Jalen Hurts where, like, it's not clicking when it comes to the passing attack. And, you know, early in the season, they kept just, you know, force feeding the ball to DeAndre Swift and running the ball. And we're okay, we're going to beat you. You want to play a two-high shell, run the ball all day, throw some passes to Dallas Goedert. But, you know, in this game, they really had to pass the ball a little more because it's a good defense that, you know, we just moved on from the Jets defense because they had Zach Wilson and they weren't really scoring points. And we just kind of wanted to forget about them, but they still have a good defense. So, you know, maybe there's some kind of a blueprint there with Robert Saleh, what he did, because he's an embarrassing every quarterback besides Zach Prescott. But they're doing pretty well this year. But I go back to that. And I think, I don't know if I'm concerned about the Eagles, Matt. I think it's more of like you're still in that feel out phase trying to grow, because with Shane Steichen, that first year, him and Jalen Hurts were trying to figure out for most of the year. And then by year two, they really took off and blew up. So there is something there to be concerned about, but I'm not sure how much.
So I don't worry about Philly in the sense that, as you mentioned, like, new coordinators run on both sides of the ball. And I know that, especially on offense with Sirianni, like, you're going to basically have the same offense, but it's still different. It's still an adjustment. We see that around the league every year where these teams have new coordinators. And you go, it's not that big of a deal. And then you're like, actually, no, it takes a little bit of time. You know, I think, you know, Miami with Fangio. I think Miami's defense will be better as the year goes on. It takes a little bit of time. Kansas City losing Eric Bieniemy. Andy Reid is there, yes, but I think it does matter he's not there. So on and so forth. The Niners, to me, I agree with, for the most part, like, look, you're not going to go 17-0, okay? They lost a game. It's on the road. It's not even in the conference. Big deal, all right? The only thing about that game that I've been waiting for a team to try to do this, and now the Browns did it, and I'm going to add the caveat of, I can't stand blueprint guy. The guy's like, well, there's the blueprint there. Yeah, well, yeah, if you have that talent and you have the coaching, sure. Otherwise, yeah, no, it's not a blueprint. Cleveland in that game said, we are going to play man-to-man. We're going to be aggressive as hell. Beat us. And the Niners, because of how talented they are, a lot of teams have this feeling of, like, got to back up, keep everything in front of you. And they kill you because they run all these play-action plays and they get guys open in seams and in zones and they run for miles. Jim Schwartz said, nope, we're going to play man in this game. Beat me. And Brock Purdy couldn't beat him. And I understand that Samuel left early and McCaffrey left somewhat early. Like, I understand that. And maybe the game is completely different if they don't. But I think if you're Philly, if you're a team with two really good corners, like, you might look at that and go, okay, like, I'm willing to try to play that way. If you're, you know, if you get to the Super Bowl and it's Kansas City with Snead and McDuffie, maybe you look at that and go, okay, you know what? We can play you that way. If you're Seattle with Woolen and Witherspoon, maybe you're more apt to go, all right, we're going to get in man. Beat me. Now, the Niners might. They might beat you anyway. But I think it was a little interesting. Again, a lot of teams can't do it anyway. It doesn't matter. A lot of teams just can't get in a man, look at torch by him. But for the teams that could potentially get in a man against them, I thought it was somewhat interesting to note the way the Browns played that game. And yes, they needed a lot of help. They needed 12 penalties and a missed field goal at the end. But teams like the Eagles and the Chiefs and the Seahawks have offenses. Like, they could score more points than Cleveland scored in that game. So I don't think it's a 5-alarm fire for either team. You're going to lose games. It happens. You're 5-1. But I do think there's something to note there anyway.
Yeah, and I like those points. I think, you know, you reminded me of why I liked Seattle before the season started, because they do have, you know, Rick Woolen and Devin Witherspoon to, you know, keep up with all these skilled players for the 49ers, and they could score points. You know, maybe we'll talk about Geno today, but he wasn't on it with Cincinnati there. But the Bengals make a lot of quarterbacks look bad. But, you know, going back to the Browns, I feel like maybe that should be where the focus should be on. That's a very good Browns defense. And Matt, shout out to you, because, you know, if it wasn't for your game blurbs every Sunday, I probably wouldn't even have the Browns on my radar, because they're so awful to watch offensively. But that defense is really good, and you've been, you know, giving them credit for the secondary, for their pass rush. And, yeah, that secondary has a lot of good DBs, and you can play the 49ers man coverage that way. And Myles Garrett finally has some help. And
yeah,
I'm looking at the numbers. I'm like, man, like, this secondary is not allowing quarterbacks to get any yards on them. It's wild. And like you mentioned, they're playing man coverage and they're getting consistent pressure. You know, some of these signings that they got in the offseason, like a Dalvin Tomlinson or Za'Darius Smith, I think that was a trade. But, you know, overall, like, you know, you look at the numbers. I know they're not playing, like Robert Saleh said, a gauntlet of quarterbacks, because they played Kenny Pickett one time and they lost to the Steelers.
Right.
But the numbers just say, like, this is a very good defense, and I think I pretty much crowned them the best defense the other day, too, so I'm going to stick with it.
Right now, they're the best defense in football. And look, there's always going to be that truth, and they've had a bye, so they've had five games. And yeah, they've played Kenny Pickett, and they played the Titans, who can't move the ball. And Burrow, who normally you'd be like, well, that's a great game, but Burrow's been awful this year, which we're going to get into that here in a minute. But I don't care. Like, if you're the Browns and you're you're dominating these teams. It's not like it's like, well, we're winning 23-20. I mean, these teams can't get yards. I don't care who you are, who you're playing. That's really impressive. And if it wasn't for the fact the offense gave up two touchdowns to the Steelers' defense in week two, they'd be 4-1. So kudos to Cleveland for playing the way they're playing.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's a lot happening these days, But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
All right, staying in the ASC quickly. Is it time to look at the Pats and say, okay, look, not during the season. Nobody's saying Belichick's going to be relieved of his duties in week 10. Nobody thinks that. They're 1-5 right now. They just lost to the Raiders. I watched part of that game. I'd like to get that life, that part of my life back. There's really no realistic path here for them to come back and make the playoffs, make a run. I mean, it's just going to be what it's going to be this year. They're not good. Do you think at the end of this year, it's time for Kraft and Belichick to sit down and maybe part company?
It's tough because, you know, with a guy with 6 Super Bowl rings and done so much for the franchise, like, you want to make sure, like, if they do part ways, it's like a legit parting of ways. When they, when teams say that, like, you know, the guy got fired. So hopefully they come to some kind of understanding, but I think it's more on Bill Belichick. Like, you know, are you able to say to yourself, hey, you know what? I just don't have it here anymore. Maybe it's time for a change and I got to move on. But I don't know. So it's been, what, 2-3 years now since Tom Brady has gone? That's enough of a sample size to say, you know what? We really need a reboot here. The ways that I used to do, it's not working. So if Bill Belichick could say that to himself, look in the mirror and like, okay, I got to do something differently here because I got pretty arrogant with my coaching staff decisions a year ago and I thought it was going to be okay. I tried something better this year. It's not working. There's something I really got to do here. So it, maybe him and Kraft have some kind of understanding. We're like, you know what? We're going to try differently. We're going to rebuild together. Let's do it. But something feels like there's disconnection here. And I think maybe Belichick wants something different. So I'm going to say they are going to probably have a different, you know, I guess, parting of way here or whatever, firing, whatever you want to call it. But something's going to occur, especially if you, what, win 2 games. Like, it's bad. People are going to want changes after what, the third season without Tom Brady. You went to 1 playoff game. You got crushed by the Bills. Last year was pretty bad, and it's getting worse as the years go by. So I think after 3 years, you could probably say, you know what, it's time for a change. And hopefully for Kraft and Belichick, they have some kind of middle ground to say, okay, it's mutual.
Yeah, you know, I agree, Gilberto. I think it's well said. And I think, you know what, look, this is a guy that I don't care what's going on right now. You owe him respect. He's won 6 Super Bowls for your franchise. You know, people are not old enough to remember this. I know you and I are about the same age. The Patriots were a full-blown dumpster fire before Belichick showed up, okay? That's a franchise that went to 2 Super Bowls in its entire history before Belichick got there. It got blown out in both of them. And other than that, we're pretty much a waste of time. Before Kraft got there in the mid-90s, they were talking about moving the franchise. So Kraft and Belichick essentially resurrected what was a completely woebegone organization. And my opinion on it is, look, if you want to have that meeting, which you have to have that meeting, you sit down and say, Bill, you're not running the team anymore from a GM standpoint. That you're not doing. We're going to overhaul the personnel department. If that means that you resign, I accept your resignation. If you want to stay on, you can stay on and be the coach as long as you want. Because I don't think it's a problem of Belichick can't coach. The problem is Belichick, the GM, has given him no players to work with. And that's on Bill. Like, that's why Andy Reid left in Philly, okay? The GM thing was not going so well for Andy Reid, and he had to move on. Now, they had more talent than this team does, but still, they were falling apart. Belichick is not a good GM, but you're going to tell me that guy can't coach? They almost beat Miami with this roster. They almost beat Philly with this roster. Like, he can still coach. So if I'm Kraft, I'm trying to say, hey, look, man, who am I getting that's better than you as a head coach? Who am I getting? If the Raiders fire McDaniels, I'm bringing him back? I want McDaniels over Bill Belichick? No, I don't think so. I'm good. Like, I still want Belichick as my coach. I don't want him as my GM. And the question is just whether Belichick will accept that or he'll say, no, I'm good, man. If I can't do it all, then I don't want to do it at all. You know, that's That's, I think, where we're at. Speaking of a coach who's not Bill Belichick, decidedly, in name or deed, the Chargers, they are now 2-3. You were at the game Monday night. The Cowboys beat them 17-10 in a game that can be described as not a great coaching duel, I think is fair. Can we now officially say the Chargers made a mistake in retaining Brendan Staley after last year's playoff debacle?
You know, I hate to say yes because, you know, after 2 years.
You can
years,
say yes, it's okay.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm a person that believes me, a coach should get 3 years. But, yes, you know, we've seen enough already. And that's why I keep, you know, trying to give the Chargers more chance because they have so much talent. Like, the you know, Tom Telesco, you know he has his issues too, but he's given Brandon Staley a great roster on both sides, offense and defense. And then you hire a good OC. And you know, and even that's kind of been a struggle with Kellen Moore because I saw some mistakes from Kellen Moore. I did write that, you know, the Cowboys still made the wrong decision to make Mike McCarthy or make Mike McCarthy make himself the offensive play caller because they're still trying to figure that out. And they were kind of clicking with Kellen Moore there, but that's a different issue. And when I left that game at SoFi Stadium on Monday night, you know, I was trying to debate with myself. Was it the offense fault or the defense? You know, Justin Herbert was off his game. He missed a couple of throws. But, you know, I kept going back to all the flags on the defensive side. Like, Derwin James, you know, getting those dumb penalties, being undisciplined. You know, I don't even think they got a takeaway. I'm trying to remember if they did. Well, they got the muff punt there. But
yeah, I was going to say the fumble punt.
The special teams. But on defense, you know, all your guys are healthy. And at one point, I kept asking myself, where is Joey Bosa? He's supposed to be your best player, better than Derwin James, and he's not popping out. Khalil Mack had a sack there. They got pressure. They did. But you want to see more from Brandon Staley and his background, his defense in year three, because I've heard all the excuses, Matt, in the first 2 years. Last year was injuries. The first year was we're trying to learn a complex scheme. Everybody's running the same system now. It's a trend. It's a Vic Fangio. People are doing it much better than the Chargers. So it's not going well. You know, I've never been critical of the fourth downs because maybe I just like to watch exciting football and go for it. And you have Justin Herbert. But even some of these plays over the years have been so questionable. And now it's falling on Kellen Moore there. So, you know, they had so many opportunities to win that game. And I chose the Chargers because they were coming off a bye week. You have 2 weeks to prepare for the Cowboys. You go up the field on the first drive. You score. After that, a lot of ugly football, a lot of questionable decisions, a lot of flags. So, you know, this Brandon Staley thing, you know, being 2-3, going to KC now, if you're going to fall 2-4. I think after that, we could say you're done. Give the Chiefs another AFC West title. And then you seriously got to consider letting go of Brandon Staley.
So, look, Telesco, first of all, I agree with everything you said. And Telesco is a guy who I think has brought in a lot of talent there. This is the first year in a while. I feel like when I watch them, they're just not as talented as they were. And my rationale for that is, so J.C. Jackson was brought in, big ticket free agent, didn't work out. Okay. They lost Drew Tranquil in the offseason, who was a really good player for them last year, who they somehow lost to the Chiefs, and they replaced him with Eric Kendricks. Eric Kendricks was once a very good football player. He's not anymore. I like Asante Samuel Jr. I think he's a very good player. And Derwin James, obviously, is a great player. Mack has turned back the clock and fought. Now, granted, six of his seven sacks came in one game, but they happened. And Morgan Fox has played really well for them. He has five sacks. He's done a nice job. He has more sacks than Joey Bosa does. But when I watch them, and again, part of this is also Lindsley's hurt and Williams is out for the year. Like when I was watching them against Dallas, I kept thinking to myself, if they don't get the ball to Keenan Allen, they're screwed. Like there's nowhere else to go on this team. Quentin Johnston, not saying he's a bust. It's early in his career, but he has not done it yet. Austin Eckler is fantastic, but like you're going to throw to your back how many times in a game? I mean, realistically speaking, even if he has eight receptions, what's he going to have? 55 yards? I mean, okay. If they don't get the ball to Allen, it's a whole lot of Joshua Palmer. It's a whole lot of hoping Quentin Johnston can get open. It's a whole lot of Gerald Everett, who like, look, I'm not saying Gerald Everett's not a decent player, but you're not scared of Gerald Everett, right? Like, it's just, you look at them, and it's got to be Keenan Allen. It has to be Keenan Allen. And if it's not, like they're just screwed. And part of that, again, is, of course, the injury to Mike Williams. But now when I watch them, it's just like, yeah, if you can stop Keenan Allen, you win. because there's nowhere else to go with the football. And, you know, to the point about Telesco, first of all, I think Telesco has done largely a good job. But if you go back, I've got their draft history in front of me, and I'm not going to bore everybody to death with the whole thing here. But, like, let's even just go back to 2016, okay, the year they drafted Bosa third overall. They took Hunter Henry in the second round. Everybody else was a complete no-name player, okay? And Henry was there for a few years, and he's had a decent career. 2017, Mike Williams in the first round. Excellent pick. After that, they had Desmond King and Rayshon Jenkins, guys who started out, well, King started out very hot for him, was an all-pro, and then kind of petered out. Jenkins, who's made more of a career in Jacksonville than in L.A. 2018, Derwin James in the first round. Phenomenal pick. Then they took Uchenna Nwosu, who's a damn good football player, but he's not on the team anymore. He's now in Seattle. Okay, everybody else, non-entity. 2019, they really whiffed on their first rounder, and it happens. Like, it's going to happen to every team. Jerry Tillery, okay, it didn't work out. Nasir Adderley looked like he could have been halfway decent. He retired early. Drew Tranquil was their best pick in the fourth round. He's gone. Pipkins, they got in the third round, a decent pick. 2020, Herbert, of course, knocked it out of the park. After that, I mean, Kenneth Murray, I was a big fan of Kenneth Murray coming out. It has not really panned out to be what you would hope it would be. And then the last couple of years, like, I'm not going to judge it. It's too early. Although Asante Samuel Jr., an excellent pick in the second round. The rest of those guys kind of, eh. Okay. My point is this. They've done a very good job of drafting in the first round. But after that, they don't draft players that contribute. And when they do, like a Uchenna Nwosu, you're like, that guy's a really good player. He leaves. Like, he's out the door. Drew Tranquil, he's gone. How do you let that happen? So, look, I think it's a collective failure. But Staley, to me, is the biggest problem right now. They just don't play winning football. They make way too many mistakes. And as you point out, especially on the defensive side, where you came in as a defensive coach, they should be really good defensively. And they're one of the worst teams in the NFL defensively.
Yeah. You know, Matt, going off of the drafts there, you know, that's why when I say, you know, with Tom Telesco, he has his issues, but everybody likes to focus on the first round. You know, I'm not saying it's super easy to nail the first round picks, but the odds are higher
right,
for you
better
to
than
get that. Yeah, Herbert, Bosa, Derwin, yeah, I could keep going on and on. But, yeah, you know, like the teams that draft in the back end, like there's a reason why the Rams were able to be aggressive every year and trade their you know, trade their first-round picks. So they were hitting. Yeah. They were hitting in the back end. So, obviously, the Chiefs are always hitting on draft picks there. Like you know, you were talking earlier, I think earlier this week in the meeting about the Chiefs reinventing themselves. You know, they do that defensively every year with this draft pick. Some guys got to go because you got to pay Patrick Mahomes, and they keep hitting and hitting and hitting. And with Tom Telesco, he hasn't done that. And the stat I always go to, it's not even about the draft, Matt. He's been there 11 years, zero AFC West titles. The Chiefs have seven in a row, and the Chargers have never gone past the divisional round in 11 years. What type of GM gets that type of leeway throughout the league, like without a Super Bowl or going that far or winning a division title? So I think at the end of the year, Matt, if they miss the playoffs, you need a full clean house here for the Spanos. You got to try something new and make it work because you have way too much talent. And you pointed out, Matt, you know, they have injuries, but injuries happen everywhere across the league. Like, this team is always in one-score games. They keep losing them. You know, people point to injuries, bad luck, cursed team, whatever, no fans, that viral fan that went crazy. But there's issues here, and it's been 11 years of a big sample size to try to figure it out. So I think something needs to change from the top to the bottom.
No question. I agree with you. I think it's time maybe for a little bit of a full gut to nail that point home. And by the way, you mentioned earlier your piece on Kellen Moore. I thought it was excellent. I hope people check it out.
Thank you.
I agree with you. I think you're right on. But, you know, look, like next year, the Chargers are already well over $30 million above the salary cap, the projected salary cap for next year, and they have Khalil Mack on a $38.5 million cap number. Like, that's not happening, okay? He's gone. Joey Bosa, $36.6 million. I always kind of assumed, like, he's definitely going to be back, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know where this thing's headed. Mike Williams, $32.4 million. You have to think he's gone after this year with the injuries. Keenan Allen, $34.7 million. Like, of those four guys, at least two of them are gone. At least two of them are gone. Eckler's a free agent. You would imagine he's gone after the way that went in the offseason. I mean, they just, it's time, frankly, unless something drastic changes this year, it's time to reboot that team. It is time to just rebuild and try to get it going around Herbert, you know, for the rest of his prime, because right now it's not working. All right. Lastly, in the storylines, where we get to our bigger story section, we can be brief on this one. Just kind of a check-in point here. Who's your AFC favorite right now? I think it's got to be one of Kansas City, Miami, or Buffalo. Where do you land on those three as your favorite, or do you have a team outside those three that's your favorite?
Yeah, we keep going back to the Kansas City Chiefs because we've seen them before. You know, they're not playing the best offensively. They still got to figure it out. Maybe they do something at the trade deadline, or maybe, right, like you mentioned, no Eric Bieniemy. They got to figure it out, and they'll be fine at the end of the year. The defense is outstanding, but, you know, teams are losing every single week, and we can't just go off of the team that's undefeated anymore because nobody's undefeated. And, you know, part of me, you know, wants to say the Dolphins, but when they lost that Bills game in Buffalo, I'm like, that was your moment to really show that this team is like obviously they're Super Bowl contenders, but like, are you like a legit bona fide number one team? And if they go to Philly and they beat the Eagles, then okay, Dolphins, I'm with you guys. You could probably be the number one team in the AFC, but we haven't seen that signature win just yet. So I'm going with the Chiefs. And like, you know, credit to you last week, you know, being critical of the Bills. They had another clunky game. You know, they probably should have lost to the Giants there with Tyrod Taylor and a third string left tackle and a bunch of injuries there. So the Bills are not right either. The Jaguars are surging a little bit. The Bengals are surging here. But I think it's still the Chiefs after six games.
Yeah, I would agree. Look, the Chiefs have to figure out the receivers. That right now is clearly their big issue. Rashee Rice is good as a rookie. I think he's going to be a pretty big player for them. But yeah, outside of Rice, you don't know what you're getting every week. And you can't rely on a rookie to just be the guy alongside Kelce week in and week out. That's dangerous sledding. I think the Chiefs kind of are like the Eagles right now, where you look at them and go, you know they're going to be there. But they're not really hitting on all cylinders. I mean, you know, and Philly Hurts has 7 interceptions, and they've kind of muddled through. You know, they were so-so against New England, so-so against Washington, lost to the Jets. The Chiefs, it's weird in the sense, not only have they won, they've actually covered in most of their games, but it's because the defense has been incredible and the offense is kind of just, 23 points a game or so and ho-hum. But I think with both Kansas City and Philadelphia, look at them and go, at some point it's coming. I mean, they're just too talented. At some point they're going to figure it out. I would say it's the Chiefs with one eye on Cincinnati if they could ever get that figured out. But, you know, Cincinnati's played awful offensive football in the 3-3. But they come out of the bye this week. They have a bye. Then they play at San Francisco and home to Buffalo. We're going to find out real quick what Cincinnati's all about. And speaking of which, dovetails perfectly. I'd like to say I did it on purpose, but I didn't. The bigger story. So the Bengals beat Seattle last week, 17-13, the game that was offensively pretty good in the first half and then really bogged down in the second half. Is the bigger story that the Bengals won the game against a good football team in the Seahawks? Or is it that Cincinnati's offensive woes just continue to plague them?
You know, I think it's the first one. You know, you just needed a big-time win there going into the bye week. And, you know, with Joe Burrow, you know, getting better every single week. So, you know, it was tough to say, you know, was Joe Burrow's calf acting up again? Or they just played a really good, you know, Seahawks defense with good corners and good pass rushers, like you mentioned, Uchenna Nwosu earlier. So, I think you just take the win. Especially after, you know, I kept looking at the schedule. I'm like, okay, they're winning games, but are they going to rebound playing the Seahawks, Bills, and 49ers in three consecutive weeks? Like, that could make or break your season there. So to come out to get that win in a very close game there, and the defense bailed them out, Sam Hubbard, Hendrickson, Hill, like those guys were amazing for loose defense, yep, there. So shout out to that Bengals defense because I feel like people always overlook them. Like, people are talking about the Browns and the Jets and even the Raiders defense with the safety from Max Crosby. Like, sometimes you got to give love to the Bengals defense, and they came through because the Bengals offense wasn't there. That's a little bit concerning, but I think they just needed that win after what we saw, you know, in week one or week two. To go 3-3 into the bye week, I think they'll take that all day.
Oh, I think they'll definitely take the record, right? At this point, with the way things have gone, no question, I agree. I'll take the other side of it. I could have gone either way here. So I don't necessarily even disagree with you. I just think there's a way to look at this right now that if you're a Bengals fan, it's got to change coming out of the bye week. It has to change on offense because you're going to play the Niners and the Bills. You've got Kansas City down the pike. You've got Jacksonville down the pike. You've got to go to Baltimore. Like, you got to get rolling here a little bit. Now, I wanted to pull up a few numbers. So Joe Burrow, let's just start with the basic stuff. Right now, he's averaging 5.3 yards per attempt, okay, which is toward the bottom of the league. That is a rough number. He has a 39.9 QBR, which, if you're not familiar, goes from 1 to 100. It's an ESPN stat. Okay, he ranks 26th in the league. He had a good game against Arizona where he completed 36 of 46 for 317, 6.9 yards per attempt, 3 touchdowns and a pick. Other than that, his yards per attempt has been 5.3, 5.5, 5.3, 5.4, 2.6. It has been a struggle to say the least. Now, try to dive a little bit deeper, and Pro Football Reference does a great job with this. They give you all these different advanced numbers, and I'm not an analytics guy by any means, but I think it's interesting. So they have a stat called intended air yards per pass attempt. So obviously it's just, you know, look, if you throw the ball 10 yards down the field 10 times, you know, 100 divided by 10, you average 10. Jordan Love leads the league in this in 9.8, which I never would have thought. Joe Burrow is dead last at 6.1, although and there's 33 quarterbacks who qualify. I'll tell you one thing, though, it's interesting. He's 33rd. 31st, Patrick Mahomes. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, underneath. Now, but here's where it gets a little more interesting. Completed air yards per pass attempt. Brock Purdy ranks first, by the way, in case you're wondering. And Mahomes, he still ranks at the bottom, well, toward the bottom, 29th. He's tied with Kenny Pickett and Daniel Jones. Okay. Joe Burrow, dead last, behind Bryce Young by a healthy margin. You look at it and you start going, okay, well, what's going on? Now, here's the other number that I want to toss in there because I think it adds context. On target percentage, just good throws, solid throws. You're hitting the guy where you're supposed to be hitting him. Mahomes ranks second to Dak Prescott. So he's throwing the ball shorter, but he's just dotting guys up. He's hitting them. They're moving the ball. Burrow ranks 28th. So not only is he throwing the ball short, he's really inaccurate. Like, you can get away with throwing the ball short. By the way, Kenny Pickett is dead last. So Kenny Pickett with a lovely combination of I'm going to throw the ball 2 yards and throw it at your feet. But Joe Burrow, 28th. So it's like, yeah, man, I can live with you throwing underneath with this calf thing. But, like, if you're not even accurate with it, now we got a real problem. They come out. They play the Niners. They play the Bills. I'm not saying they got to win both of those games. You got to win one of them. Like, you fall to 3-5. And yeah, you're not out of the race. I'm not throwing dirt on you, but you got a problem because after that, it's Houston, which is actually playing pretty well. Then it's at Baltimore, home to Pittsburgh, at Jacksonville. Not easy. Not an easy slate. And their last three games are at Pittsburgh, at Kansas City, and home to Cleveland. Like, it's hard. So I am very interested to see what we get out of Cincinnati here. Now that you're going to have the bye, rest a little bit. What does that thing look like as you're coming out of the bye week?
Yeah, Matt, the only thing I want to add here, like, you know, I feel like the AFC North, no team is going to create separation. Like, I'm so unsure about the Ravens. Like, they're 4-2, but, like, I find myself feeling like, okay, I don't really care for this team. They're kind of boring offensively, and they haven't figured out their identity yet. So, and then the Browns, you know, are you going to score points to help out your defense? You know, who knows? And the Steelers will have Kenny Pickett. So, you know, maybe it could be like just a 9 or 10 win division here. Who knows? We'll find out.
You know, it's funny you said that because I was watching that Ravens-Titans game over in London. And I was like, every year there's a team. I don't know what the hell's happening. Like, I can't figure out if they're good, they're bad. The Ravens are that team for me. Where I watch them and there are moments you watch them and you're like, man, they're really good. And then there are other moments you watch them and you're like, how the hell did they lose to Gardner Minshew and Kenny Pickett? Like, and you're like, well, it's because they dropped 37 passes and they turned the ball over a ton and the defense is weird. Like, I kind of think they're just a good team that maybe can win a playoff game and that's probably it. But yeah, it's a weird, they're very hard for me. Even Lamar, like Lamar's that quarterback for me. Look, I'm not saying he's not good. He's obviously very good. But there are games when you watch him where you're like, man, he's one of the best three quarterbacks in football. And then there are other games you watch him and you're like, he threw for a $120 and a pick. And like, what the hell happened? Like, it's very odd. They're just a very strange team. So I agree with you. I don't think anybody's going to be running away with it in the AFC North.
Yeah, I feel like with Lamar, they're trying to make him run less and throw more. And it's maybe a little uncomfortable for him at times. Like, he wants to be true to himself. But he's older and you got to keep him healthy. And I think maybe this might pay off in the long run. But right now, it's not working. And what's going on with Rashad Bateman? And you paid Odell Beckham like $15 million. Like, that's not working. At least you got Zay Flowers and you got, you know, Mark Andrews as always, but they're missing more firepower. Yeah.
Zay Flowers has been great, but man, you're right on about it. Like, Baltimore, you look at them and you're like, man, cool. Rashad Bateman, first round pick. Rashad Bateman has 82 yards in 5 games this year. And Odell Beckham has 113. I mean, not great. Zay Flowers are 367, so that's good news. And Andrews, as always, is a quality tight end.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Let's get into the week 7 games. We're going to go to our SI Sportsbook, as always, where you can always place your NFL bets, many other bets as well, should you go that route. We picked the 5 best games of the week, or at least the ones we like the most. And so we're going to start on Thursday night here. Jacksonville at the Saints. Now, we don't know if Trevor Lawrence is going to play, a little bit of a sprained knee. I will note that while we've been on this podcast, Jacksonville elevated a quarterback, which seems notable. But as we sit right now, we don't know if he's going to play. Saints laying 1.5 at home. They're 3-3. Jags are 4-2, of course, coming off of a 3-game win streak. Do you like New Orleans at home, or do you like Jacksonville to go on the road and get this win?
I'll put it this way, Matt. I don't want to like New Orleans, but like I feel like I have to here with New Orleans because short week and Trevor Lawrence having the injury there, and the Saints have a good defense. I know, they've kind of been up and down. The Texans game they didn't play too well there, but they still have a good defense there, and I think on a short week they are at home, right? They're hosting too, so I like that for New Orleans. So I feel like I kind of have to like them. But I wouldn't be surprised if Lawrence is okay and him and Ridley and Christian Kirk and Etienne do well. So I'm going to hate myself here, but I'll pick the Saints because I just have not been a fan of their offense. They can't really, get things going with Derek Carr there. But they're at home, short week, and an injured quarterback on the other side.
I'm not even going to say anything else. That was perfect. That's exactly how I feel. I hate that I have to pick the Saints in this game. But I don't know what's going on with Lawrence. If you told me Lawrence is 100%, I'd probably take Jacksonville. I just don't know these 100%. And so are they going to have to kind of, even if he plays, they're going to have to shelter him. And I'll take the Saints. Plus, the Superdome's a really hard place to play. That is one thing about them, So I'm with you. I hate that I'm with you on that one, but I'm with you. All right. Lions at Ravens. Mentioned the game a little bit earlier. A really good game. Probably the best game in the the 1 o'clock window, I should say. Ravens are laying 2.5 points. They come into the game 4-2. The Lions coming in at 5-1 on a 4-game win streak. They just handled Tampa Bay. Do you like the Ravens at home, or do you like you like the Lions to get the 6-1?
I like the Lions because, going back to the Ravens, I don't know what we're gonna get every single week, and they are at home, but they are coming back from that long trip in London. Maybe that could kind of be some fatigue there, but I just don't trust the Ravens right now. I wouldn't be surprised if they beat the Lions too. I think I was actually surprised to see the Lions are plus 3.5. Like, I thought maybe kind of a pick 'em game here, because the Lions have been so dominant. I think they're just crushing teams by like 14, 16 points, whatever it is. And that's a sign of a good team. Like, when you're just playing teams you're supposed to be, you're not getting kind of like the signature wins there, but you're handling business, crushing the Panthers, crushing the Buccaneers here. So I think the Lions are going to go in there and win a close game. And I've just been impressed all around. I am concerned about, I know, Dave Montgomery, because he is their identity, like playing kind of that smash mouth football. But they can easily throw the ball with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Jameson Williams, just give him one catch for 50 yards and a touchdown. That should be okay to do it there. But Jared Goff has been playing great. Great offensive line. Great defense. And I keep taking the L here because I was really critical of the Lions defensive front, who's going to step up besides Aiden Hutchinson? Well, a lot of guys have been stepping up for Detroit. So I really like Detroit. And if they win this game in Baltimore, like, we might have to start talking about them the same way we do with the 49ers and the Eagles as well in the NFC.
I love the Lions. I love the way they're playing. I've seen them twice in primetime in person this year at Lambeau and at Arrowhead, and they found a way to win at Arrowhead, and they pummeled the Packers. That game was an absolute killing from start to finish. I'm picking the Lions. I'm with you. Look, Jared Goff's playing great football right now. Like, great football. He has been about as good as anybody in the NFL. You know, with them, you know, they got Jameer Gibbs in the background. He can play. Now they got, or backfield, I should say. Now they have Jameson Williams. He's back at a 45-yard touchdown grab this past week with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Sam Laporta has been an excellent rookie. He's done a nice job. The defense, look, they were awful the first half of last year. They're pretty damn good now. They got Aiden Hutchinson, who's wrecking shop every down, it feels like. Aleem McNeil inside, good D tackle. You got Anzalone, Campbell at second level. You got C.J. Gardner-Johnson on the back end. Brian Branch, they can play. They're a really good football team. We just talked about Baltimore's volatility. Detroit's not volatile. Detroit's just good. So I am going to take Detroit. I am with you 100%, man, on the road. I like them to win a game by, I don't know, somewhere around 4 to 7 points. All right. Steelers at Rams. Rams laying 3.5 points. Kenny Pickett and company coming off the bye. They're 3-2. Rams are 3-3. I'm assuming you'll be at this game at SoFi. Are you you rolling with the home team, or you like Pittsburgh off the bye?
I'm going to skip this one. And for being at SoFi Stadium is what I mean by skipping, because I don't want to watch Kenny Pickett for 4 quarters.
Good for you. I don't blame you. Good for you. It's the right move.
And also, sometimes just working from home, it's a little more efficient. So I'm going to pick my spots for going to SoFi. But you know, the Steelers caught a break here because Kyren Williams might not play for the Rams. And, you know, I keep throwing out this word because this time of year people figure out who they are. But the identity for the Rams is, if you run the freaking ball with Kyren Williams, you're probably going to win that game. So all three of their wins for the Rams this year, Kyren Williams stepped up. In their losses, Kyren Williams has been really quiet. So, yeah, you have Cooper Kupp and Puka, and Stafford could throw to those guys there. But, you know, the Steelers have a very good defense. And I'm making it sound like I'm going to pick the Steelers. I should just give you an answer. I'm picking the Rams here, but I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Steelers recover. If you would have told me Kyren Williams would have played in this game and be healthy, I would have gone the other way in terms of the spread here. But Steelers recover. 2 weeks to prepare for the Rams. It should be a close game, but I think the Rams will do enough to pull it out because they do have, you know, actually a pretty good defense that people are overlooking a little bit. I know it's kind of a scheme thing where you don't want to allow anything down the field, but in terms of the passing game, they've been shutting down a lot of teams, and they play Kenny Pickett this week.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett's not good. So I will take Matthew Stafford over Kenny Pickett. I actually think the Steelers will cover, but I like the Rams to win the game. Look, the Steelers have this weird thing about they find ways to win the ugliest games you've ever seen. But Stafford with Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, like, I think they have more growth potential here than the Steelers do. And I was somebody who picked the Steelers to make the playoffs for the year start. I was part of that media hype train. I was like, oh, yeah, I really like Pittsburgh. No, as it turns out, like, Kenny Pickett's not good. And that was my big concern going into it. You know, I went against a cardinal rule that I have. If you have a good quarterback and you have a good coach, I will pick you to make the playoffs. And if you don't, I won't. And the Steelers have a great coach. They have a lousy quarterback. And I should have just said, Matt, don't do it. You know better. Don't pick this team. I was like, nah, everybody else is good. Kenny Pickett will be able to be a game manager. No, turns out, no, he won't be. So give me the Rams. We're on the same page as the first three. All right. I know where you're going to go with this because we already talked about it a little bit, but the Chargers are at the Chiefs. It is an AFC West matchup. The Chiefs are laying 5.5. So I know you're picking the Chiefs because you said that earlier. Let's talk spread. Do you think the Chargers cover the 5.5 number?
You know, the Chargers are very – maybe, I'm cutting them some slack because they have a lot of talent, but the Chargers do play in one-score games. At least they're consistent. They don't win them, but they're at least in one-score games. They keep it close. So 5.5 points is a lot. So for a team of this caliber, so – I'll take the points here, but they're going to find a way to screw it up probably. It's going to be a close game. And even you could probably catch the Chiefs slipping this week because they can't figure it out offensively, and you might hang with them. It might be a low-scoring game. But when it comes to one-score games and they're at Arrowhead Stadium, the Chiefs will probably figure out how to win these games because they always do, and the Chargers seem to not win these games very often. So just to offer that simple, basic analysis, it'll be close, but give me the Chiefs.
So I normally would be 100% like, listen, the Chiefs are not going to cover the spread because they're the Chiefs and they let teams hang around. But what I said earlier, I find myself really focusing on this game for better or worse, for right or wrong. If Keenan Allen doesn't beat the Chiefs, I have no idea who the hell is going to do it. And the Chiefs, one thing about them this year, which has been the genesis of why they are so good defensively, their corners can just shut you down. Trent McDuffie and L'Jarius Sneed this year, especially McDuffie, they're playing at an all-pro level. And I think the Chiefs, like the one thing about Allen that makes him unique is he can play outside, he can play in the slot. McDuffie and Sneed do the same thing. Both those guys play inside and outside. So you can match up however you want to match up. And because of those corners, the Chiefs can dictate the matchups. And they've done that throughout the year, and it's been really effective for them. I also think it helps that Drew Tranquil like knows the Chargers offense really well and is going to be heavily involved in this game. I might regret this. I think the Chiefs are going to blow them out in this game. And I never feel that way. Like I always feel like when the Chiefs play Chargers, they're always tight. Always. You're probably going to be right. Like they're probably not going to cover. I just wonder with Brendan Staley, is this like the tipping point here? Like, is this just one of these things where the Chiefs beat them like 30-10 and you're like, all right, it's enough of Brendan Staley? Maybe I'm wrong. I do think regardless, I think the Chiefs will win the game. I think even if they don't cover, they'll find some way to win. And if they win this game, that division's over. If they'd be 3.5 up on the Chargers with 10 to go, good night, done. So I'll go the other way. I'll say the Chiefs beat them handily, but I would not be surprised if I'm sitting here with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and it's a tie game and you're like, oh, okay, of course it is. All right, best game of the week. I don't think there's any argument. Dolphins at the Eagles. This line was Eagles -1.5. It has jumped up to Eagles -2.5. Do you like Philly to get back on the horse here at home after losing to the Jets? Or do you think they have a two-game slide against the AFC East with the Dolphins coming in, both teams, of course, at 5-1?
Yeah, I'm curious about your answer because I think we're probably going to disagree here for the first time today. And it kind of gives me New Orleans vibes where I didn't want to pick them, but I got to see something from the Dolphins for me to truly believe in them. And I really like their team. Like they're great offensively. Like you mentioned about Vic Fangio and that defense, I think they'll figure it out eventually to keep up, not being the same level as the offense, but to be productive and do well. So do it here, Miami. I'm taking the Dolphins, beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. I think it would be a pretty big-time game in prime time. So I like Tua as an MVP front runner. I called him that. People kept telling me it's Tyreek Hill. But Tua's throwing the ball, and it's a quarterback league. So let's see what he does. And he's a great player. But, yeah, it's a quarterback league here. So Tua, Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, Mike McDaniel, this is your time, your moment to really step up and show people in prime time if you're legit. So give me the Dolphins.
Yeah, listen. By the way, I'm with you on the Tua thing. I have him right now. If I had to vote, I'd have him as the MVP. I can't remember a year where I feel like it's more wide open. Like, I don't know who it's going to be. There's about 12 guys right now. You could be, yeah, maybe him. But I'm with you. Tua right now, MVP frontrunner. I am going to pick Philly in this game for two reasons. One, I think it's a very evenly matched game and Philly's at home. And I guess 1B is they're coming off a loss to the Jets, which I think is going to light a fire under their ass. Two, Philly's been in much bigger games than this, and they've won them. They know how to be in these games. The Dolphins, I know they were in a playoff game last year, but they were with Skylar Thompson. It's a little bit different. This is a big boy game. And the last time we saw the Dolphins in a big boy game was a couple weeks ago, and the Bills absolutely took them to the cleaners. Now, I don't think that's indicative of the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are a very good football team. But I trust Philly more in this spot than I trust Miami. If this game was in Miami, I'd probably go the other way. But because it's in Philly, off a loss at night, one thing you know about Philly fans, the place is going to be going nuts. I just wonder in this game if this is one of these, our offensive line is going to win the game. We are just going to dominate the point of attack. So I'll take Philadelphia to win and to cover. I don't think it's a blowout by any means. I think it's a one-score game. But I like the Eagles to win. All right. Before we get out of here, what's going on in the world of Gilberto Menzano?
Yeah, you know, update from Oktoberfest. You know, I enjoyed myself, but I had to wait 2 hours in line to get into this place, and I was not expecting that long of a wait. It wasn't worth the wait, I'll put it that way. I did have fun, you know, you have a couple of beers and it's always gonna be a good time. But you know, they call it the most popular or the best Oktoberfest in Southern California. I probably should have taken that seriously. I thought maybe it was over promotion, over hype, and it'll be 30 minutes I'll be in the building. And you know, it got to the point where people are saying, hey, you want to just pay $100 to get into the top of the line and just get in there? I'm like, No way. Once I got in there, I'm glad I was a cheap guy because it wasn't $100 worthy of being in there, but it was still a good time. You know, I had different kinds of beers. So, but that's why, you know, Matt, you know, I keep telling you that I am not a person that likes to go out, but every time I tell you something here, I'm going out. But this weekend, I'm going to stay home, not watch Kenny Pickett in person. I will do it from home because I got to recover from a pretty busy weekend.
Well, yeah, I don't blame him, man. See, I like going out. I like going out and seeing people. Although now I got two kids, it's a lot harder. Now if you go out, you're really paying for going out twice because you got to get a sitter. It's a whole thing. But in any event, so as you know, as the audience knows, if you listen to the show, I like to play pickleball because apparently I'm 80 years old inside. But I enjoy it. And so in a couple weeks, I'm playing in it's a Halloween tournament just because it's near Halloween. But, you know, they have this thing about, hey, you know, if you have the best costume, whatever, you'll win a prize. So I'm playing a mixed tournament, myself and a female partner. And then we're playing the men's doubles. And the men's doubles tournament, I am not wearing costume for because I really want to win that tournament. I'm playing with a buddy of mine who we played in the last tournament. We played pretty well. I think if we play well, we could win. So I'm ultra, ultra serious about this. The mixed doubles tournament is on Friday night, the weekend before Halloween. And my partner, she's like, look, we got to dress up. Like, I'm all about that, whatever. I am not all about dressing up. That is just not my deal. But I'm like, all right, like, what do you want to do? Long story short, I got roped into being Peter Pan for this thing. And let me tell you something, okay? I'm 6'2", about 230 pounds. Like, men of that size, anybody that size, like tights, not great. Okay. Like I don't mind showing a little leg, but I mean, we got, you know, that's a whole lot of person in some tights and a damn, you know, Peter Pan top. And I got to play pickleball on this thing. I already have deep regret. Like my partner, she is very diminutive. She's probably 5'5", very petite. I'm like, you can get away with this. You can be, you know, I think she's like Tinkerbell or whatever. You can do this, okay? And you can get away with this. I am a massive green target, okay? Like, this is what this is going to be. So now, though, I will tell you, I feel more pressure to win on Friday night than I do on Saturday because I'm like, I can't be Peter Pan and get beaten this thing. Like, the only way I have any respect or dignity left after this is if I win, and then it's like, wow, Peter Pan just kicked my ass all over the court. Then I at least feel pretty good about that. But yeah, I told him, like, look, I bought this thing off Amazon and I have immense regret. Like I might have to do something where I get like a pair of like green shorts or something and you know, throw it, because this is a tragedy, what's going on here. I'm very concerned for both myself and everybody who has to be in my general vicinity when I am Peter Pan for this tournament.
Well, first of all, Matt, we need pictures. I gotta see some pictures about you.
Oh, I'm sure somebody's gonna get pictures.
And some videos, some highlights of you playing pickleball in this attire. And then my second question is, are you going to be wearing the little hat? Like, can the hat stay on? Are you going to practice wearing the costume before?
Bro, I'm going to get the hat. I can't guarantee you that it's going to stay on. It's not like I don't have long enough hair to like pin it down to my hair because I shave all my hair off all the time. So I can't even do that. Like, I have no idea if it's going to stay on. My guess is it probably will not, but I will try. It's also just I keep thinking to myself, like, this is going to be ridiculous. Like I'm absolutely bringing a change of clothes because if we get one game in and this is a mess, like I'm sorry, like she's just going to be Tinkerbell by herself. I'm changing. And she can look ridiculous, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. I got roped into this. I should have just been like, no, I'm not doing that. That's insane. But she's a friend and she's all about it. And I was like, all right, I don't want to be that guy who's just a buzzkill. So I'm like, all right, I'll do it. I'll be a good sport here. Yeah. 6'2", 230 pounds. And we're rolling in Peter Pan tights. This is going to be, it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
Well, if you wanted a kind of a safe option, Matt, maybe you could have been like Andre Agassi before you went bald and had like the mullet, you know, or maybe one earring. That would be, you know, nice little attire.
I could have done that. I could have done a lot of things, Gilberto. I could have just said no, which would have also bailed me out of this. I am fully anticipating we're going to get there. Nobody else is going to have dressed up for this thing because nobody cares about this like $50 prize. and we're gonna be the idiots. And at that point, man, we have to win. Like, I'll do whatever it takes to win. Because, like I said, then it's funny. Then it's like, look, we dressed up like idiots and still beat everybody. And okay, like, we went there. They had a couple weeks ago, they had like this 80s night theme at this place where we all go and play. And I didn't take it too seriously, but I was like, you know what, I'll have some fun with this. So I have a Wayne Gretzky hockey jersey, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to put that on, and I'll just show up with a hockey stick and like hockey pants, because I have all the gear from when I used to play. So I showed up in it, and like people were like, oh, that's funny, whatever, like, that's cool. And then I thought to myself, like, you know, I wonder if I could beat somebody while I'm wearing hockey pants and I play pickleball. And as it turns out, I was able to. So I played a couple games like that. The problem was, man alive, did it get hot. It got hot in a hurry. So the hockey pants after like two games had to be gone. Then I was just playing in a Gretzky jersey, and that was fine. I could handle that. But yeah, I try to be a good sport with this stuff. I know I have to be in a couple weeks. And Maisie, my oldest daughter, she's all excited about Halloween. She's going to be Taylor Swift. She wants me to dress up like Travis Kelce. I'm like, all right, you know, I can do that. I can make that happen. So I try to play the role of the good sport, but yeah, this could be, I could end up in some viral video here as Peter Pan playing pickleball.
Yeah, we definitely need the footage, and I know we got to get out of here, Matt, but everything went okay for you and Maisie in Arrowhead?
Yeah, man, thanks for asking. It was great. We had a lot of fun. It was cool to just go as a fan. You know, we don't get to do that often in this line of work. I appreciate our editor, John, for allowing me to do that, and for you for covering the game. So thank you. I appreciate you. It was fun, man. She enjoyed it. She liked the social aspect of it more than anything else. Like, anytime she did something good, she was high-fiving everybody. We had a couple of really good sports behind us who were Broncos fans, and she was like good-naturedly giving it to them. They were great about it. I mean, it was fun. She loved the tailgate. She liked the dance. We saw some guy dressed up as Superman. Maisie thought that was the coolest thing, or Spider-Man, I should say. She thought that was the coolest thing in the world. Kept trying to dance with Spider-Man. At one point, I had a parental moment where I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing here, because somebody was blasting Kanye West Gold Digger, and Maisie was just dancing up a storm to this song. And I was like, should I intervene with this? Nah, what the hell? So, no, she had a blast, man. It was a lot of fun. My dad got to go with us, and he had a blast too. It was good. It was a good night all the way around.
Yeah, no, it's good to hear. I saw the picture of you eating barbecue, and I got pretty jealous.
Oh, the barbecue. My God, man. Shout out to Joe's in Kansas City. That place is unbelievable. I'm going back out there in a month to cover the Eagles-Chiefs Monday night game. And my God, man, I'm going to load up again. I'm going to load up. I don't know if I guess I send them for one or two nights. I'm sure it's just going to be a one-night thing. I might even just eat the other night of a hotel just so I can go out there and eat 2 days of barbecue. It's worth the money. I don't care. Oh, it's phenomenal. But hey, man, thank you for covering me for that night. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure, man.
And all right, listen. That's all we got. You got a full hour out of Gilberto and I. Whether or not that's pain or pleasure, I have no idea. But here we are, breaking down all things Week 7. Next on the docket, the Jags and the Saints. We'll see if Trevor Lawrence plays or not. Good luck to your teams this week. If you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please do so. Leave a rating. Leave a review. If you have a question, leave it in the comment. We'll get to it. But thank you so much for listening to us and having us be a part of your week. And check out all of our stuff at SI.com and, of course, on Twitter or X as well. So, Gilberto and Matt Bertram, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels.
No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.